I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. Happy New Year. I am joined, as always, by producer Joel.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Mark. Joel. Happy
Merry
New
Christmas,
Year.
Merry Christmas, Mark. Happy New Year, Mark.
I have not spoke to you since Christmas.
Yes.
We had 2 weeks off.
It's been great.
Have you enjoyed your time off of the podcast?
I have, because this is obviously the sort of the busiest thing in my life, this project. So it was a real rest of
yeah.
a fortnight.
Did you go away anywhere?
Yeah, I went to Dubai.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
a lovely
nice.
Time.
That was a random place to pick. Why did you say Dubai?
Isn't Dubai sort of the online meme at the moment? Because it seems like everyone can get there.
It's is it?
You can go there and party, yeah. I didn't go there and party.
No, you just sort of went and had a sit by the
just
pool.
Chilled out.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Joel. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We didn't do a podcast last week. Apologies for that to everybody. But Joel and I forgot it was Wednesday.
we got really lost. It's that time of year where it's impossible, isn't it?
I just forgot it was Wednesday.
Yeah. I had no idea what day it was for about 10 days.
And then it was your girlfriend's birthday.
It was.
Was that nice?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
And then
when you're locked down.
Oh, and then it's locked down now. Hey. So much has happened since I last spoke to you, Joel.
I know.
Another lockdown.
Another lockdown.
Yeah. And the jabs are going out.
They are.
How do you feel about the news at the moment, Joel? Do you feel skeptical or optimistic? The lady down the road from me, she's having her jab tomorrow.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
She's really old. But she's a nice lady. Yeah, she's having her jab tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you had your jab, does it mean you can just sort of
lord it over everyone?
Yeah, but you can't.
You're just
going to
get streets. It's just going to be streets full of old people getting pissed and causing
shagging.
And shagging.
Because there's nothing else to do. It's like if I went and got a jab now,
yeah,
I can't really do anything or go anywhere, can I?
Nah, but you'd just chill out, wouldn't you? You'd just be like, oh, it's one less thing to
I'd
worry
spend,
about.
I'd spend a lot of time in Sainsbury's.
Licking the floor?
Just I'd be hanging out in there, because obviously at the moment I'm very paranoid. I've got my mask on, not trying to get near anyone.
Yeah,
but I'd be, you know, if I had the jab and I saw someone pick up,
you take your mask off and chase them.
I'd chase them around. I would.
Oh, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Just not to worry about anything, all that right
nice,
stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
It
one day, Joel, it's coming soon.
Mark,
yeah.
Oh. Do you think Edinburgh will happen this year?
I don't know, Joel. You know what? I think something will happen.
Mm.
Like I've applied to the Free Fringe.
Yeah,
and they have said if like people are allowed to do stuff, there will be something happening. But the trouble is, people won't have planned to go, will they, till last minute. So it's not because a lot of people go, oh, what are we going to do this year in the summer? Oh, we're going to go to Edinburgh. And they plan it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone will be there to watch anything. Or is it just going to be locals? And if so, you don't really want a 3 in the afternoon show because there'll be no one around. I don't know. But it's exciting that something could happen. I'm hopeful. But I don't know if it'll be a proper Edinburgh. Might be the year to win the award, Joel.
This could be it.
There's no one else.
You're the only show in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
The hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, there we go. I've been writing my new show, Joel. I've been writing lots of jokes. Got nothing else there to do. I've got nothing else to do. Oh, by the way,
finding stuff to write jokes about.
Well, luckily, I don't write about stuff that's happened.
But you sort of do.
No, I watch TV, and here's a little top tip of how I come up with stuff. Watch TV, and then listen to
it. Wow, what a tip.
Watch TV, comedy shows, write down the jokes that they say. No, watch TV, and then people will say something, because they always do.
Oh, my God.
They always do.
Oh, my God. This is hardly like a fucking masterclass, is it? So what it is, right, I watch TV, people will say something,
and then I'll go, oh, I could do something with that.
Yeah,
there you go.
Wow.
But the key is you've got to be switched on when you're doing it, and it's so easy just to, you know, space out.
No, it's hard for you, isn't it?
Hard for me.
Yeah, watching all that TV, but focusing on it.
Oh, I watched Cobra Kai new series. Oh my God, that was the best. I watched it all in one day, and a couple of other extra, like, watched a few again.
Did you feel sad when you watched it all in a day?
No, it was the best day I've had in a long time. I loved it. Honestly, Joel, I had such a good day. I got up, started watching it when it was on straight away, just all the way through. Had a walk in between a couple of episodes. It's wonderful. It was a great day. So check it out, everybody. By the way, I want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in to my Zoom shows just before Christmas. They were great. Great fun. Lots of lots of road testing jokes and then seeing what works and what doesn't. I started that sentence wrong and I couldn't continue it.
No.
So, but I'm going to do some more.
You need to watch more TV, get some more tips on.
But I'm going to do some more in January. I'm going to watch some more TV, write some more jokes. and then sometime in January, I'm going to do it. Oh, this time next week, Joel, it's my birthday. this time yesterday, next week. 2 days ago for when people first download this. And then if you listen to it the day after, 4 days. And if you listen to the day after that, 5 days.
Okay, what are you doing for your birthday?
Nothing. I've asked my mum if she'll throw a party, but she won't. I said, even if it's just us, she went, no. Rubbish.
How old?
I don't know
what
to do, Joel. Don't talk about that. Last year didn't count. That's what everyone says. So,
yeah. Well, you wouldn't have been locked down for your birthday last year. So,
yeah, but it's the year. It's not the birth. It's not the one day. It's the entire year, Joel.
Okay, so you're not 40 yet, then?
Are you fucking kidding me? Wash your mouth out. 40. Jesus.
Look, I know you're wearing a hoodie, but
I am wearing a hoodie, yeah.
40-year-olds can wear hoodies these days.
Stop saying 40.
Why?
Well, I'm not 40.
34.
Yeah.
Higher?
Yeah. shall we crack on with the episode, Joel?
How is it at your parents'?
Oh, don't do that. Mate, as soon as that vaccine's out, back to the big smoke.
So am I.
Back to the big smoke.
The blood will barely be dry on your arm and you'll be cruising on up the A2.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get back at it. I said this before, Joel, I'm really missing comedy clubs. Really missing it. Just everything about it, the vibe. Just go into them, any of them, the ones in just in pubs, the ones in the good proper designed clubs just for comedy, the theatres. I'm missing it all, Joel.
What about the rubbish ones?
I'm missing dying on my ass. I would happily go on stage and die on my ass right now. I just want to get back at it. It's doing my head in, Joel. I've snapped. It's time.
Finally.
It's time. It's time to get back at it. Crying out loud. The thing is, it's great that I'm writing jokes all day, but it's bloody, that's all I do. Come on, roll that vaccine out.
I'll go to your first gig and I'll laugh really loud.
Will you come to my first gig?
Yeah, I will.
Like you came to my online ones.
I was busy.
Busy. So busy at the moment in lockdown.
I am, yeah.
Unbelievable. You could put it on the background and just have your video off and it looks like you're there. That's what my whole family did. No, they didn't. They didn't even come.
Oh.
Joel, we've been talking for 9 minutes.
I know. Good stuff.
Let's talk about art a bit afterwards as well. Come on. Let's get on with the episode. That's what people have tuned in for. Not us rabbiting on.
No way.
So what have we got this week, Joel?
We've got Mr. Brennan Rees.
Brennan Rees. Here he is. Happy New Year, everyone. I quite like a Zoom gig now, mate. I'm quite into the Zoom.
Have you? I like it. Because some people have... I think I've figured out how to do it to the best of my ability. Have you figured out a way of doing it, or do you just do it normal? Because I guess it's different way, online, isn't it?
I can come in and out. It's quite nice. So I chat... So basically, I do a few jokes, and then I chat to people, but I'll do... But it's all just jokes. So I'll be like, what's your hobby? I'll do a joke about their hobby.
Yeah.
And I've got a list of jokes that I've written since like lockdown started. So I just say, I've got 100 jokes here. Give me a number, and then I do the number. And it's just like a bit of fake interaction, but it really does work. And then I just move to the next person. And then the move into the next person gets rid of any awkwardness if it's...
Yeah.
If a joke doesn't really hit or something. So no, I like it.
I like it.
It's quite nice just sitting at home doing a gig.
I mean, it beats sitting on the M62, doesn't it?
I know.
But I like that as well, where you get to see inside people's houses, so you get a bit more ammunition for like crowd work. Yeah. And then by mistake, there was one night I was booked to do a Zoom gig, and I was out on a cycle, and I forgot. And I got a message about half an hour before being like, this is the link. And I was like, fuck, I'm not even anywhere near. I was literally in the middle of nowhere. And it was the best one because I had loads of stuff to play around with. And then some cows came over to listen to what I was saying, which was really fun. So now usually if I've got a Zoom gig and it's not too dark, I'll go out.
Really? Yeah. And still on your phone.
Yeah. That's instead cool. of just, I did, instead of, I, oh, go on.
Did you get extra laughs because it was like, I fucked up here. This is mad.
Yeah. Cause everyone's been in that situation and they go, they feel like they're getting a bit extra, and you go, no, if anything, you're getting much less because I'm not doing my material.
But you get to see some cows.
Yeah. It felt so... I didn't even realise. I was just doing it on my phone, looking at my phone, and then I heard a noise, and I looked up, and there was probably about 30 cows that just come over. And it was like, this is the biggest gig I've done in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I'm sure I heard a story about someone playing to cows. I can't remember what it was, so that's a terrible anecdote. I don't know what that was.
That's not even an anecdote. I think that was a sentence. You did a really good sentence.
That's how a one-liner comedian does an anecdote. It's just one sentence that isn't a joke.
I'd love to see you do. I don't know if you've, because I don't think I met you until we were both a good few years in. Did you ever do like story jokes and?
I think I've tried everything like in the first 2 or 3 years to try and work out what it is, but I'm not very good at telling stories, as you just found out live on the podcast. Sometimes I write bits that are a bit longer that aren't really jokes, and it's like, well, they just don't really fit my bit.
Yeah.
So I can hold them off for something like a podcast if someone wants a story in a podcast, but yeah, nothing that funny happens to me. You know,
I mean, nothing that funny happens to any comedians. We just make it up.
Yeah. But I've got a mate that every time I see him, something funny's happened to him. And it's always hilarious when he relays it.
Yeah.
But I just, there's nothing, maybe I just don't notice those things. Maybe those things do happen, but I don't pick up on them.
Yeah, but then again, you'll have like special skills where you'll pick up on like a word that has a triple meaning. And I'll be like, what?
So when you come up with stuff, so what's your, how do you, does stuff in life trigger ideas, or do you just sit down and try and work out what to do?
No, something's usually got to have an end point. Like, so it's usually got to be a story, and I need to know really how it finishes. I'm not very good at, like, do you know when people create a brilliant ending? So as long as I've got a place to work towards, I just sort of fill in the gaps with images and jokes and characters and stuff like that. But yeah, I pretty heavily rely on stories, but this year's been a bit shit because there's been no stories. We've all had the same experience. So if I go, I tried doing a bit when we got to do that little 3 months of gigging in between the lockdowns, where I was like, oh, I'm going to try this story. And everyone goes, that's not special. We've all done that. And I go, fuck. So this year's been a bit, sort probably the first time in my sort of career where I've been a bit dry, where not like writer's block, but do you know when you go in, I'm really having to dig to find some interesting stuff, or like even think about, I never do, do you know when people set up a premise and then they talk around the premise for like 5 minutes? So it's like an idea or
they
a topic.
They try to ring out as much as possible.
Yeah. So I've even tried to think of like premises and thought, like, I don't really have opinions on stuff, but now I've gone, oh, I've heard it's quite trendy. I've been on the internet and everyone's got one. So I've tried to think about what I think about things, which sounds like the most idiotic sentence.
Yeah. So what have you discovered that you think about things?
I just think the main thing that I've discovered is that things need to stop being everything's fucking reviewed. Like, when that's my it's biggest bugbear at the moment. You're like, I don't care how a taxi driver is. It doesn't need a review. It's not for me anyway.
Oh, right. I see. Yeah, yeah.
TripAdvisor,
everything.
Yeah. Do you know where you go? What did I get the other day? I got something
did
delivered
you enjoy
off.
Enjoy this service. Can you fill out this form?
Yeah. And I go, no.
Does anyone ever do that?
I mean, if you do, you're a novice.
Yeah.
But
that's cool. So that's a bit then. So that's a bit that you're now trying to wring as much stuff out of as possible, is it?
I guess it will become one. It's gone in my... I do that thing where... I guess most comics do it where I make notes. And then usually every Monday is I'll put those notes into folders on my computer.
Right, yeah.
So I've got like lots of documents where it might be like characteristics. It might be like stories. It might be like family, birthdays. And so I've got fucking loads. And then I'll try and put them into some sort of format. So if I, for example, something happened to me today where I go, right, it's my best friend's birthday and we went out and something happened, then I can delve into them and be like, right, you can pad it out with all those observations or little notes that you've made.
Right. Okay. So they could be notes you've made from over the years.
Yeah, 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 then, totally. Like I've got notes from before I even started doing stand-up, and then those
right,
it might even be like words that I think are just quite funny. Or one thing that I really like is, and I sort of shied away from when I first started out, I didn't really do gigs in London until maybe about 2 or 3 years in, and I'd get to London and everyone would have like these smart political bits or really good wordplay, and I'd lose all my like northern isms, like my language, because I was like, oh, I have to be like Radio 4. And then few years later, I realized that that's my language, and that's funny in itself without having to, you know, even if it's words that you don't understand. I remember my agent once asking me, she was going, you keep saying scraig, and it's just a really northern term for crying as a kid.
What is it?
And I think that crying,
you know,
like
what's
when
the
kids
word?
Cry, scrike, skirke.
Skike.
Strike. Yeah, like strike your eyes out. So I'd gather them now. I gather them because I think it makes the joke a bit, it's got a bit more light and shade to it. And also,
but if you did that in London and no one knows what that means, would that affect the joke?
Sometimes, but you can have loads of fun with it where, especially if you're doing gigs in quite posh areas, which there are a lot of in London, you can really have a play with it because I did a gig at 21 Soho in this year in between the lockdowns. Yeah. And it was just full of like, there was a man who was the manager of Covent Garden. And then there was another person who owned like 40 properties. And then I get on and start blurring out words like scrike and mad ass. And you can see on their face, they're enjoying
it. What's a mad ass? Is that someone that's annoyed?
Someone who's like a sulky, yeah.
Right, Mardi, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like a Mardi bomb. And and then you can have fun with going, playing around with that dynamic of, because I quite like dipping into the crowd. So it helps. It's all the things that I thought made me shit that I tried to get rid of when I was new, you actually realise that. Yeah, totally.
Ah, that's cool. So had you written a show before lockdown? Where were you with your writing? Or are you now trying to write a fresh show now?
I was working on one. So I went over to Australia to do a try and run it out. So I started off with nothing and then had old bits and some new ideas and then sort of pushed the old bits out. And I usually write my show about like a big thing that's happened in my life. And it's not, it doesn't have to be like, and then my dad died. Like, I like those shows, but they don't always have to be that. So I was writing around a thing where I think on the surface, people see me as quite like a fun, polite, happy boy. And there's a term called happy sad, where you appear quite happy, but underneath you're a bit
comedian.
Yeah. And I never had this before I started doing comedy. Do you know when people go, oh, you've got to be depressed to do comedy? Comedy's made me sadder. So I sort of
Why do you think that is? What do you think? Is it that kind of the highs and lows of getting laughs and then going home and nothing?
Yeah, I think it's a drug, because I've never really done drugs, but I think it's a bit of that, like chasing the dragon. And then another thing is you're just judged all the fucking time, whether it's by yourself or by other comics.
Yeah, true, yeah.
And then I got into that weird thing. I think it's after I did my first Edinburgh and it went well, where it then suddenly becomes not about creating really good stuff. It's about getting fucking work and getting on the telly. And when someone gets on the telly, you take it personal. And I don't know why we do it, where you go like, what the fuck are they on? Because they are and you're not. Shut up. So I think
that competitive thing comes out, doesn't it? It's that. But that's like that in any job, isn't it? Why do you get a promotion?
I ain't got a clue. Like, never done proper jobs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Apart from when I was like 16 and I wasn't bothered that someone was a duty manager at Pizza Hut.
it's a good point.
And I think when you surround yourself, when everyone, do you know, we always talk about how like comedy's got like classes and years. When you're in that year of like, oh, we're all the ones that might be on this or that. You get caught up in those WhatsApp groups where people are going, have you seen what this fucking knob's on? And even though I don't want to look, you go, oh yeah. And then you basically get their attitude by osmosis where you're going, oh fuck, now I hate everyone. And I really like everyone. I quite like comedy. I mean, there's a lot of comedy around that I don't believe is the comedy I like at the moment, but it's not for me to decide, is it?
No. Well, that's it. I mean, subjective, is it? I don't know. What's the word?
I'm not great at, I'm good at words that don't mean anything, but I'm not good at ones that actually have a meaning. It's going to annoy me that. Anyway.
Comedy's subjective. So people like different things. That's basically what it is. So
I mean,
and often comedians don't like the things that the general public like.
Totally. Like there's, you know, you get people who watch these like massive YouTubers or comedians doing stuff online and they go, like some of them I watch and I go, honestly, not even angry, I just go, I don't get it. My mum will show me a thing and she'll be like, have you seen this? And you go, yeah. And she goes, it's great, isn't it?
But like on the opposite end, I don't know if it's the opposite end, but like on TikTok, you got people doing things, there's no creativity on TikTok because everything is like mouthing what someone else has said. And it's like, I just don't understand that logic of how you can get so much enjoyment out of something that they didn't even create.
It's like being successful at karaoke.
Yeah, it is. It's comedy.
And people
karaoke.
Are making a load of money out of it. And you go, fair play to you. Like, you figured out how to mouth things.
Yeah. You just happen to be really good looking.
Yeah.
That tends to be the secret, I think. That's why I'm so successful on there.
Yeah, I've seen your lip sync videos. Very good.
So your new So you're writing towards the idea of that happy, sad thing.
Yeah, well, I was. And then, as I said, like lockdown happened. And then you go, is it even relevant? Is it even... Because I never want to do a show where everyone's sad and no one's happy. Yeah. But you go, do people want to hear about that? Do they want to hear about the COVID? Which I hope not, because we're all bored of it. Unless you've got a really good take on it. And then
you're
a
headliner at a gig, you're never going to be able to talk about COVID because five comedians have already done it before you even get on.
Yeah, they've been like,
you're opening, you're fine.
Quiz, am I right? So I'm sort of at a point where you go, I've probably just got to commit and go, right, this is the show that I really want to do. But it feels like I don't know whether people will want to just have pure entertainment, whether they want to have topical stuff. And I imagine it'll be exactly the same as it was before we all started.
Probably, yeah. Because I find that sometimes when I do gigs, I say, give us a topic and I'll do a joke about it.
Mm.
And people quite often want to hear about topical stuff.
Yeah.
Like that tends to be what they go to, unless that's just because that's the first thing they think of to shout out. But if you do a couple of good jokes about COVID or whatever, I think it's fine. But I think if you go into it too much, people are just going to be like, oh God, we've heard enough of this. It's on the news all the time.
Yeah.
It's right, like doing this about Brexit.
I've spoke to comics where they go, I've got 3 hours on COVID. And you go,
I know quite a few. Yeah.
you go, you haven't.
Yeah. They're probably the only people that are annoyed that there's a vaccine.
But hopefully, do you know those comics who have got an Olympics joke from 2012 and then you can bring it back every 4 years? They're like, bring on a new disease.
So many comics out there going, why can't London just riot again?
Yeah. Like if you know, when like Princess Diana pops up in the news like she has recently,
yeah. Or the 80s comics come back out, the 90s, yeah. The 90s.
Start ironing the frilly shirts.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So on topic with the podcast, the bits that you you've sort of, it's a variety really, whatever you want to talk about, because You could talk about stuff that over the years you've never quite managed, stuff that you've liked, but you keep trying to, because everyone's got those bits that they keep trying. They know there's something in it, or anything new that you've got that you've sort of tried and hasn't really hit. Whatever you want, really. It's quite loose.
So there's a bit that I've tried for, well, I say I've not tried for years, like consistently, but I'll dip back in and I go, I'm sure there's an idea in that. And so the idea, and I was going to put it in my maybe like 2018 show, and it was about the logistics of being like a, it's not very me. Maybe this, as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like.
As soon as you said the word logistics, I'm like, he doesn't know what logistics means. It's the same as me.
So it's actually the logistics of, it's to do with how a terrorist would go about sorting out their shit. Like, so like if you were going to be like a plane bomber type person, already as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, I can understand why the audience is switching off from me being like, I love my mum. Anyway, terrorism. And it's more to do with the fact that I want to know how they go about, do you know, when they're like booking a flight, because someone has to book a flight. Yeah. And do they sort of wait for a cheap deal? Do they do it on the Easter holidays? Because they go, fuck it, why not? And do they just buy the cheapest plane, or do they go, right, I really want to go near New York or whatever. I don't know how it figures out. And then they have to pack clothes. Yeah. So do they buy holiday clothes, and do they like,
what a depressing shop before.
Like, what are you buying? And are you taking the tags off?
Doesn't matter, does it? Because you're not going to wear them. Do they try them on?
Like, yeah, are they just going around the shop, just grabbing it like Michael Jackson did in that documentary when he walks around Harrods and goes, I love that and that and that. Or are they going, this would look great in the promised land when I'm there. Like, I don't know. And then are they really, like, I guess you get different levels where you get, like, method terrorists where they go, I'm going to really pack for this. I'm going to iron the stuff. I'm going to pack a Lilo. I was delving more into that, and like the fact that they'll go and check in, and they'll have to go through all that thing where they go, so have you packed this yourself? Have you got any explosives? And part of them must think, I'm getting away with this. Like, do you know where they just giggle to themselves and they think, yeah, yeah, I've done it all myself.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you think they just by mistake go, yeah, I've got a bot. I mean,
no. Did you ever hear about this? This has just popped into my head. When I was about 13, 14, and I used to lie about this, I used to lie a lot. There was a boy in the news who at Manchester Airport was going away with his parents, and they said, have you packed anything? And he said, I've packed a bomb. And then they weren't allowed on the flight. And then I would tell people when I was on MSN that I was the boy.
MSN.
I remember,
you were destined to be a comedian if you were making up that sort of shit back then.
Yeah, yeah. I was basically one of the first people to do an online gig in a chat room.
The idea of sort of the terrorists going through the same feelings that people do when they're going on holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those annoying things that when you wake up, you're like, I just can't be bothered.
Yep. And also, when there's delays, you must be like, come on. But you've got nowhere to be. How do you fill your time in the airport? And then what are you doing on that? Like, do you know long haul flights? Do you wait till you finish watching a film that you really wanted, or do you just is there a schedule where at 8 PM you have to press the button? And then I was
I hate packing, right? So the idea of having to pack when I'm not actually going to use any of the stuff,
yeah,
it's really annoying.
It's so annoying. And does someone else do it for you? Is there a packer?
Yeah. I don't know. So that's like quite a good topic to ring stuff out.
It
wouldn't even just have to be aeroplanes. You could go into anything. I mean, again, the trouble is it isn't a nice topic.
That's feel people immediately pull back.
Because you're making light. Basically, that's what it is, isn't it? It's making light of that kind of, which is how you get the funny out of it.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones where they hear terrorism or terrorist and then they go, ooh, but you're actually more making fun of the process of them getting there before they do their showpiece.
What if you had the angle of, I wouldn't make a very good terrorist, and then go into sort of, because I hate, when I go on holiday or when I pack, I hate this, and then make it more about you than an actual real.
Yeah, that's real a really good one. Shout. Because then I can talk about the fact that I can basically do the same jokes, but how I would be shit at it.
Yeah, so maybe, because then they're just imagining you doing it and they know you're not a terrorist. Well, it'd be unlikely, but it'd be unlikely that a terrorist would go on stage and tell everyone about it.
Yeah, because I've tried it at gigs. I've tried it at like previews and stuff. And I remember one man in Birmingham getting really annoyed. He's vocally known. He goes, I hate this. Like, this is out of order. Like, I think you need to apologize. And I went, all right, then. I apologize. He said, apologize accepted. And I couldn't help myself. And I went, I said, I'm taking it back now because you can't speak proper. Apologize is not the way you see it. And he bought, I'm not really one of them comics that tries to like, do you know what, when comics are out their way to like offend or to push the buttons? Yeah. And there's some brilliant ones. Some of my mates are really good ones. But I don't go out my way to make people feel uncomfortable. Like, I'll just talk about what I think is quite funny. And sometimes it comes across as a bit cheeky or whatever. But it made me back off from that bit because I'm like, oh, I'm upsetting people. I was like, fuck, I don't want to go upset people.
So basically, when you... my computer froze for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm assuming the audio will collect from your bit anyway. But so the beginning of that was someone said that you should apologize about the bit you were doing.
Yeah. And then I said, okay.
That's the only bit I missed. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. And then...
So that's quite a nice... That story, did you use that story as an out?
No, I've never thought of that. And here's someone who delves into stories, but I've never used that as a...
Yeah, because like if you're doing the bit and then that bit, you could say at the end, sometimes people get a bit weird about it.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a bit. Do you know what I mean? And you can then, it'd be quite nice to have a bit of backup.
I never really talk about gigs because we're at gigs. So I never use gig. I've done a little bit, say if someone heckles, and I'll use examples of times other people have heckled, but you might have unlocked about 19 hours worth of stuff here because I never got, I always think, I don't think it's cheating. I just think it's.
No, I think if it's as part of a bit that, so then it's not just always at this gig, this happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're doing a bit and then something happened once before when you did that bit, that's fine, I think.
Yeah, it's fine. I think I put too many rules into comedy because I'm probably too bothered about what people think. Do you know where they go?
People do say that thing about, oh, he just talks about being at gigs all the time. Okay. This comes up a lot, and I think my opinion changes all the time on it because it doesn't really matter.
I mean, does it? No, it gives a shit as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
But like I say,
if that is a bit that you can guarantee a laugh at the end of a bit that might not always go that well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that always the sort of reaction you got from it?
Yeah, I just feel people pull back as soon as I said terrorist, and there's not many better ways of saying terrorist than the word terrorist.
No.
Because if I go, like, you could really lean right wing and start calling them other things, which I'm definitely not going to start doing. I'm going to give that about 5 more years, and if my career's not going well, then I'll start doing it.
Full throttle.
And if I could find a really funny way of describing them, I think it might sort the problem out, because I love doing that where you, it's like being obliviously naive. And you know, where you just can't quite, I mean, this is ironic that I can't find the words to say, but you can't find the words to call them, so you call them what you want. I'm trying to think of what examples I've got in my, I had a bit that I was writing. I think I might have been riffing on stage, and someone was talking about blow up dolls, and I called it a sexy Lilo. And I just think it's a nicer image, and I think it suits me more.
But that's a joke itself.
Yeah, but I'm never good at picking up on the jokes of, like, do you know where people go? Do you know if you're telling a story in a green room and they go, "That's a bit." Do you talk about that on stage? And I go, "No," because I don't see the funny in it. I just think, "Oh, that's a nice image." Like when I was growing up, I think I've had quite a, I had nice upbringing, as in grew up on a council estate, but family very friendly. But my family were in the circus, and people go, "Do you talk about that?" And I go, "No," because
really?
It was just my family, wasn't it? Yeah.
That sounds like a whole show you got there, if your family are in the circus.
Yeah, but I just don't know what's funny about it, because it's me.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, because you're not used to, that's just all you've known. So it's not like out of a different environment and then come into this and then, like, that's weird.
Totally. But if you said, like, you were one of those kids that grew up in an army family where you moved to, like, Germany and wherever, I'd be like, whoa, that's cool. But you might be like, oh, we just moved out of it. Yeah. Because do you ever talk, like, with your, because your jokes are proper jokes, like good jokes. Do you ever talk about anything personal? Or is it always just leaning into whatever's funny?
Yeah, I think it's always just jokes. Well, sometimes something will happen in life, and then I'll just be thinking about it and go, "Oh, there's a twist there I can do." So sometimes there are things that come from real, but I don't think I've never opened up on stage or anything.
Yeah, really would you work.
I wouldn't feel uncomfortable. Like with the jokes
it just doesn't match.
With the jokes that I do that come from that real place. But I quite like doing those because I think it's a nice thing to talk about something real. I can understand why comics like it, but it doesn't really suit, because I just spoke about having a pet shark, and then and then I'm talking about something real. Like, because I had I had a thing that was quite interesting, I thought would make a good, that happened to me in life, and I thought would make an interesting story, but I tried to do a few jokes about it, and nothing flew at all. So because it just isn't me. It just doesn't.
Yeah,
I've got you got your brand that people, once you've been to Edinburgh after a few years, they come to see you because they like what you do, and then if I suddenly start singing, they're gonna be like, "What's going on?
Is there no way of like subverting it though? Where if you are talking about having a pet shark, and there are these like sort of tropes with Edinburgh where you get to 40 minutes and you know, Nan's about to die.
Yeah.
Would it be so silly for you to talk about your pet shark running off or dying or whatever it is?
I think that's a great idea, but I don't think that a lot of audiences would actually know what that moment is. Do you know what I mean? Because like comics watching it and reviewers, they'd be like, oh, this is clever because he's taken that thing that acts do and he's using it for this silly thing. But that would have to be so funny anyway to get everyone on board, I think. Because I don't think you could rely on that being the only funny thing about it.
Yeah, because I guess it's a big in-joke and comedians are so close to comedy that it'd be sort of like, I imagine most ordinary folk will watch a film and they won't see the most films are very formulaic, but they don't see it. They just see they're investing in the character or they see the flashing lights or whatever it is. Mm. And I've never really thought about it with Edinburgh where they go, they'll sit and watch four shows and I imagine to the minute four nans have died, but they go, fuck, this is a sad day, isn't it?
They probably don't even think about it. Most people go to comedy shows and just go, that was a comedy show, wasn't it? Was that a good comedy show? Yeah, we like that comedy show. Let's go watch another comedy show. I'm sure they don't really put that much thought into it.
Like, I think what we're figuring out here is comedians are self-centered knobheads.
that's basically what we're getting at.
I think you need to change the name of their podcast.
But quite often there'll be jokes that are in jokes. Well, not even in jokes. Like, I wrote one that I still think's got legs. I think there's something in it. But I think, so obviously we have agents and comedians have agents and we're around, even if you're a comedian, you haven't got an agent, you want to get an agent. So agent is something that people are always know about.
Yeah.
But I don't think everyday people do. So I've got a joke where I say, I always wanted to be an MI5 agent. I think I could get them loads of work.
By the way, if you're thinking, what the fuck is that sound? My dog's just run in and he's trying to bite a wire and now she's growling. But just if anyone's at home going, Brennan's got a bit growly while you're telling me this interesting thing. Sorry, carry on. I just needed to make sure that people didn't think I'd gone fucking mad. I'm just going, ruff, ruff, ruff. She's fucked up.
This is actually quite good because the people listening have now had a lot more time to think about the joke. So they should understand it by the time I tell it to you for the second time.
Yeah.
It actually works quite well.
So I've just popped up like a YouTube advert, like just ruined the timing.
Just skip. Yeah, skip.
Sorry, go on.
So the joke is, I've always wanted to be an MI5 agent because I think I could get them loads of work.
Great.
Which I think's good joke. And when I wrote it, I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But the amount of time, I've done it 3 times in Zoom gigs and it's met with complete silence from like your everyday audience. And I just don't think people know what an agent is because it's not in their everyday life. Like the only agent they'd ever have was like an estate agent, but that's not the same thing.
Is it less of a leap being an estate? But estate agent, you're so locked onto what that is to jump to the other thing. But it's definitely a joke. But maybe again, we're too close to.
Unless I get in earlier, like I've been talking about having an agent.
Yeah.
Or could, I mean, I haven't thought about this at all, but could you do it the other way around so that I'm saying I've always, like my agent said, oh, you're really good. You'd be, or someone said, my agent said, oh, you should, if you weren't a comedian, you could have worked for us because you're really good at such and such. And then I said, I've always thought I'd wanted to be an MI. Well, I don't know where MI5 agent is the last bit of the joke.
So yeah.
I've often thought I could get trained killers lots of work. So
maybe that's what it is.
Agent.
Yeah.
But also, the only other thing that I thought about it, like the detail of it, an MI5 agent doesn't technically make sense because you're not an agent. So an MI5 isn't a person. Mm-hmm. So get them loads of work. No, I think it does make sense. No, I'm not going back on what I was just about to say. I think it does make sense.
You'd call it like a double agent or a fucking, I don't know what the, because you couldn't say spy agent because it's not a thing, is it? But it's, there's definitely something in the fact that
or CIA something agent. No, what is
FBI
the
agent.
Agent? FBI, is it an FBI agent? But then that's America. So then you're losing, you're like, but he doesn't even live in America. So they're thinking, why does he want to be an FBI agent? He's not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or,
could
it be I knew an MI5 agent. He got fired. Didn't get anyone any work.
Yeah, couldn't get train killers any work. It's a lot in it, but there's definitely
a James
joke
Bond thing. Maybe James Bond not getting any work, or I reckon I could get James Bond lots of work. That's why I want to be an MI5 agent. I've got the feeling agent is the trouble there with just because when I explain it to the audience, they go, oh yeah, but that's no good. Like, you can't do that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Brendan Rees! Ha 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 happy hashtag ha 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 hooga. Brendan Rees.
Hey, there were some of Reese's pieces of comedy that didn't work.
Ah, you've been sitting on that for that whole 9 minutes we were talking.
I've been sitting all day.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have recorded earlier. You're Wally.
No, I've been practicing it.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. We've got another comedian called Matt Rees recorded. So
get ready for a very similar joke.
Yeah. lovely stuff. Great stuff. Any feedback about the episode? Hit us up at Jokes with Mark across all social media. And as it's New Year, make our bloody year. Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. That
yes,
really helps
please.
The podcast. And I'll tell you what. As we're asking people to do stuff, give it a retweet. Share it. Give it a share. Like, I'll tell you what you could do for us. That would be bloody lovely. Go find your favourite episode ever and just share it on social media. And then that'd be quite interesting for us to see what episodes were your favourite. And then maybe we'll get that guest to come back on. And also, if you've got any guests that you'd like us to interview that we haven't done already, or anyone you'd like to come back, hit us up on social media at Jokes with Mark. Let us know and tag that person in. If it's the sort of person you think might not be friends with me, tag them and try and pressure them into doing it.
Yeah, really pressure them. Sort of tweet them sort of once a day for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, do that. And they'll do it. They'll do the podcast just to shut you up. great stuff. Cool. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more.
Oh, Joe, is there a Patreon?
there is some extra content over on Patreon. So, hey, head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark.
Oh,
and you'll hear some additional
£3 a month and you get some additional stuff. And Joel, we're going to do what do we call it?
Can't remember
what we used to call our Mark and Joel on demand.
That's it.
I can't believe you didn't remember that.
You didn't remember it either.
I think you find I did.
Well, it took you quite a while to say it.
Well, I was just testing you.
Well, Mark, also, you looked off screen.
And also, you need
as
to...
As you were looking at what it
do you know,
called.
Should I tell you, actually, I'll tell you why we haven't done any more Mark and Joel on demand.
Because I refuse to watch Cobra Kai.
Yeah, because you won't watch Cobra Kai. You'll watch anything else, but you won't watch the one show that has got over 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audience, and you refuse to watch that. What's going on? Why are you not watching it?
Because it's... karate stupid
but it's
nonsense.
Not about karate, it's about karate, but it's not really about karate. It's about relationships and nostalgia and history, and it's because I told you you've got to watch all the Karate Kids first, isn't it?
It is, but you
have to watch them to really get
I just don't want an adult saying to me, go and watch all the Karate Kid films.
Why they're the best.
It's
around.
Just weird thing.
Little in joke for the Karate Kids fans out there. You might understand that joke I just made, but
it's a weird thing for an adult to recommend to another
it's
adult.
Not.
Isn't it?
It's not. It's not weird, what? Because I've done it, and it's not
how
weird.
How many Karate Kid films are there?
Okay, but there's, like there's three that count.
Which ones? 3, 4, and 5.
1, 2, and 3. And then there's the next Karate Kid, which is Karate Kid 4, which is with Oscar winner Hilary Swank. but that is very badly written. But if you love the first three, you will enjoy it because Mr. Miyagi is still worth the ticket price alone. He's excellent in it. Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son, did one. And you know what? That wasn't that bad. It was a good film.
Oh, you surprised me, Mark.
Solid film, but it was Kung Fu. It wasn't karate. Kung Fu Kid. But you know what? What it was nice was they had...
I've seen Kung Fu Panda.
Can you let me finish, Joel? I'm talking about something I'm very passionate about here. But what they did in that the extra film, this is almost Mark and Joel on Demand. Here's a little sneak peek of what you might hear on Mark and Joel on Demand. Is they gave little nods, little winks to the original films with things that they did.
Wax on,
which,
wax off.
Which was brilliant, but Cobra Kai has shit all over them. Like it's just, in comparison, it just doesn't hold up. But at the time, it's like, oh, that's good. He hit a fly with a fly swat. That's funny. You won't understand that, Joel, but if you watch films, you understand that. But the Cobra Kai is just not... Honestly, it's the third season is the best out of all of them. And it's just so good. I just want to shake you, Joel. You should watch it. Watch them all. Please. Okay. Please. Do it for me. And then we'll talk about it on demand on the Patreon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Hiya!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.